worth a second song. Amen. All right. We got a little late because of all the things that have gone on tonight. I don't want Brother Wiggins to be rushed tonight. I'm going to let him preach. So let's give him some extra time. Everybody good with that? So that means you won't turn around and look at the clock. Everybody's good? All right. It's good to see Miss Murph, Brother Murph here with us, Brother Wiggins' mother and stepdad. And blessing to hang out with Brother Murph on Friday. And we won't talk about what happened, but it was awesome. And so, anyway, I appreciate them being here. Come on, Brother Wiggins.
Well, I appreciate Pastor letting me preach. John chapter 4, and something I've been studying, and I'm sure you'll probably hear this again when we begin to talk about music. But I want to talk about worship God's way. You know, I think in today's world, basically what we've done is that we've asked man's opinion about worship. And can I say, I believe there's only one book we need to go to and know how to worship our Lord and Savior. And it's the Bible. And I believe if we'll look in the Word of God and see how we're to worship God, I believe it'll give us a sense of knowing that we're worshiping right. If you worship the Bible way, you're worshiping right. And so I want to go through the Bible tonight and just give you some things that the Lord laid on my heart. In John chapter 4 and verse 19, we see that Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria. Of course, we know that He finds a woman there, and we realize she's like all of us. She's a sinner. Amen. And we realize that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. If Paul's chief, I'm second in command. Amen. I believe if Paul said, I'm chief, I don't know what I am really. Because I believe Paul lived a greater life than I would ever think about living. But I want you to notice in verse 19, we'll just pick up the story here. It says, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In other words, what he was telling her was not from the earthly realms. That's basically what she was saying. Hey, the message you're telling me is not a fleshly or a human message. This is a spiritual message, and I believe you're a prophet. But notice what he says. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye shall worship ye know not what. Boy, aren't that where we're at today? I believe there's a lot of people that meet in churches, so-called churches all across America. They're just doing stuff and don't know what they're doing. I believe that's happening in Baptist churches all across America. Amen. I'll just preach where we're at. Amen. I believe there's people that come to Baptist churches every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and really don't know why they're there. I hope you know that there's a God in heaven who gave His life for you, and that He's a great and mighty God. And as Isaiah said, He saw Him high and lifted up. And when He saw Him in that manner, it changed Isaiah's life. By the way, I believe that's the problem. We don't see God for who He is tonight. He's a great and magnificent God. But notice what Jesus said. You know not what you worship, but He says, we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Notice verse 23. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. And He tells us how. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him. And He says it again, in spirit and in truth. You know what? If God would have just said, worship me in spirit and truth one time, it would have been great. But He said it twice. He said, now the time has come. By the way, notice the wording of the scripture in verse 24. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, notice the next word, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, if you worship outside of the realms of spiritualness and truth, you're not worshiping. And so tonight I want to pose the question to you, how is your worship? How is your worship tonight? You realize even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve worshiped God. As He walked in the cool of the day with Him, that they worshiped Him and that they fellowshiped with Him. And I believe this, I believe the reason man fell is because Adam and Eve began to worship themselves. They wanted to be gods. They wanted to know what else there was in life. But my friends, can I say that God should be enough for us to worship? In your Bible, you'll notice over 600 references to praise and worship in the Bible. Over 87 Hebrew and Greek words are used to relay the concept of praising and worshiping God in our Bible. 87 different types of words from the Hebrew and from the Greek that God has used to pin down in our Bible to give us what worship and what praise really is. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He defined worship as the believer's response of all that they are, mind, emotion, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does. Wow, that's why we worship, because of who God is and what He's done and what He's doing in our lives. And can I say that God is a great God? If you notice, if you look at words, I love looking at words, but worship in the Greek simply means, I can't give you the Greek word because I can't speak it. I speak English. Amen. That's why the Bible was translated into English. Amen. So I didn't have to know the Greek and Hebrew. Amen. I just need to know the English word. But it means to kiss toward. And so I began to study that kiss toward, meaning this. And basically it goes back into the ancient times whenever the king would come. And people would come to the king and want to approach his throne. Basically, the way they approached his throne was to take his hand, which had the ring upon it, the seal that he would wear, and they would grab his hand and they would bow and they would kiss the ring of the king, saying that they're there to worship, they're there to bow to the king. And can I say, God said that we could come boldly before the throne of grace. How do we come? We should come prostrate on our faces and knowing that God is there. I also looked up the English word means to ascribe to one their worth. Let me say that again. The English, in our English language, the word worship means to ascribe to one their worth. What is God worth to you tonight? You know, we know where the heart is, there are treasures also. But what we worship is what we ascribe worth to. What is God worth to you? I know you, He's worth my life. As Romans chapter 12, we know that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That is a true way of worship, when we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We begin to worship the Lord. The only thing we have to show God His worth is our lives, our praise, and our worship. You know, wouldn't it be good if we praised the Lord as much as we do man? You know, I find myself thinking about praise and thinking about worship. And I know today's society has taken the words and used it for their own edification and their own whatever. But I want to tell you that in my life, I've looked at my life and I said, where is my worship of God? How is my worship of God? And how is yours tonight? Because we have to worship God's way or we can't worship at all. And so I begin to study some things. I want you to notice there in John chapter 4 again in verse 22. I want you to notice that basically Jesus says you worship, but you don't know what you're worshiping. So if we could go back to this time and go back into Jerusalem and go into the heart of Jerusalem and see a temple there at a certain time of the day, at 3 o'clock, they would come in at that hour and they would bow down and they would make the sacrifices and they would do the things in the temple. And they called that worship. They called it what we call today. They were having service. They were going to God, before God, and offering their petitions to God. And so this lady was very familiar with that hour that they would go to the temple and make the track from Samaria into Jerusalem to make their worship to God. And he began to say that, you know not what you worship. And can I say today, I believe that's where we're at in America. We're worshiping because God put it in our life to want to worship something, but we just don't know what it is. I remember a missionary telling a story. I can't remember who the missionary is, but apparently it was a missionary in Mexico. He was telling us a story one time. He said that in Mexico, in one of the cities down there, that they were out knocking doors and witnessing to people. And he said that they came across, now Pastor would love this, but I don't think he'd worship this, a 57 Chevy. And it had a Coke bottle sitting on the hood. And they said every day in that city, there would be people and they would put their flowers and light their candles there and they would worship this 57 Chevy with a Coke bottle sitting on the top of the hood of that car. Now, I love Chevy, amen, but I'm not going to bow down to a Chevy. I like Coke, but I'm not going to bow down to a Coke bottle. Why? Because those things are not living. Amen? But it just goes to show you that in all of our lives, we have a desire that God placed there that we want to worship something. Even in the heart of the deep tribes of Africa and over in other countries, there is a desire to worship something even without a Bible. Even without America influence, they want to worship something, whether it be a tree, whether it be something. And can I say, every American, every person here tonight, you have a desire in you to worship, but it's how do I bottle that and how do I do it scripturally? Most references of worship will show people bowing. I studied the word worship all through the Bible. And time after time after time, I begin to see how that whenever they would worship, this was amazing, is that you ever thought about Job? Anybody say, hey, I had a day like Job? No, I don't think so. Job lost it all in one day. But as we see Job, the Bible tells us that Job worshiped God. And we find Job laying in the ashes and just begging to God. Can I say that? What is our worship like? You know, I've studied it, and I'll say it again, that most of the references in our Bible show us people prostrate or bowing before God when they worshiped. You know, it's sad today that most people want to see how high they can get to praise the Lord. They want to get on stage to do it because we can't do it down there. Amen. I want to stand on top of something. But you know what? True worship, by the way, and I say this, I'm not getting on any crowd because we're just as bad. But I get them in my office every week. Songs for praise and worship. And I just got one yesterday. And I was looking as I was making out this, typing out my message again. And I said, you know, really, does it take songs to make me praise and worship God? Because I've had some good times riding down the road in my car. And I'd just be going down the road and I'd begin to think about how good God had been to me. There was no song playing on the radio. There was no preacher preaching to me. I'd just be riding down the road going, whoo, whoo. Man, why would God love me? And I'd begin to think about all I've done wrong in my life. And trust me, there ain't a drive long enough to count all of them. But I'd begin to think about how good God had been to me. Why in the world He called me into ministry. Why He'd allow me to sing a song about Him. Why He would allow me to preach. Why He would allow me to have a great wife, a great family. Why in the world? And I'd just begin to say, God, thank You. And I'd begin to praise Him and worship Him. Hey, listen, it didn't take no rock band to get me to praise Him. It didn't take no piano player. It didn't take a guitar player. It didn't take somebody up there going, hey, let's all get up. It just took me realizing who God was and who I am, and all of a sudden the worship came. I love music as much as the next person, but I want to tell you what, my friends, true worship does not take music. It does not take you being at church. Amen. We call this our worship service. But can I say, I have worship services all during the week. And it just basically is whenever I realize who I am and who God is. But the world, showing again how the world just has a way of wanting to worship something. You remember a man by the name of Daniel? In the book of Daniel? Remember in chapter 3? Is that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, I make a decree. When you hear the sound, I'll shorten it, of the music. I want you to fall down and worship me. I believe we got a little bit of Nebuchadnezzar in church now. Okay, we can't, when the band starts, y'all, whew. Hey, listen, here's what Daniel said. I'm going to worship God in my way. Daniel's on his knees praying. Whew. What a man that would stand in those days. See, even Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to worship. Even Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, we got to worship something. So they made a golden image. And they said, this is what we're going to worship. You remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments? And to get all the laws. And him and Aaron begin to, or him and Caleb, Joshua, one of those guys walking down. And remember they said, what do we hear? There's war going on down at the foot of the mount. The associate pastor, as any bad associate pastor, had got the group together and said, hey, we got to worship something. He said, give me all your earrings and stuff. Let's go back to Egypt real quick. Y'all remember what we used to do in Egypt? What we used to see in Egypt? And they made a molten image of a calf. And they begin to worship that. How sad. Can I say tonight that true worship in our life is not bound to time and place. It's bound to a person. You know, that's what Jesus told her. Notice what he said. In verse 21, he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." She's like, "Whoa, wait a minute. We go to Jerusalem to have worship and to fellowship with God." And Jesus said, "No, wait a minute. The hour's come when you don't have to go to the temple to worship God." Notice what he says, "But the hour cometh," verse 23, "the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers..." The only thing you got to do is worship God, the Father, in spirit and in truth. "Well, I'm going to church to worship God." If that's the only worship you're doing, you're not living a satisfactory Christian life. You ever worship God at your work? You ever looked across the desk and thank God that you're not lost and on your way to hell? You ever just praise God and say, "God, thank you for getting me to work on..." Amen? Amen, Mr. Verter, driving from Arlington to Dallas. If you had to drive down 35, you better praise God if you get there alive. Every time I get on 35, I lose my religion. Amen. Amen. There's not too much worshiping going on there. But when I get to my destination, thank you, Lord. Lord, I praise you. You know, I was thinking this. Now, y'all know me. I've been in singing groups all my life, just about. I remember a singing group I was with. I ain't going to tell you their names, but in my early ministry, my mom would laugh at this. But they were a family gospel group. And I ain't going to tell you what I done with them either, because I played the drums. I ain't going to tell you that I did that. It was so funny because we go in those churches and, boy, they would just, oh, man. They'd get through and go out back and do their own thing out back while the preacher was preaching. When the preacher was done, they'd come back in and sing again. If we didn't have a church to go to, guess what? They didn't go to church. You know what? As a young kid, I was still in high school at this time. I was a senior in high school, I believe it was. And I remember seeing this and thinking, if this is true Christianity, I don't want a part of it. And I began to, you know what? There's always going to be those false worshipers out there. But thank God that I had a true worshiper in my family, and it was my mom. My mom, I'm telling you, was a great example of what a Christian should be. You say, "Well, she must have had a great and perfect life." Sit down and talk with her. She had two boys. And that's all I got to say. You know, I was noticing tonight, you know, when we sing hymns, I very rarely have to open up my hymn book. And I noticed tonight that my mom's the same way. You know why? Because I was raised up with that in my life. And my mom would point out songs. She'd say, "Have you ever noticed this word in there? Have you ever noticed this phrase in there?" I'd be like, "No." You know why? Because we realize the importance of God. And I'm so grateful for my inheritance that my mother gave to me. And I'm grateful that I had a great grandmother that was her favorite song tonight that I sung. And I was thinking, what a great inheritance. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. But I want to tell you that even though I had a Christian mother, even though I had a Christian grandmother and a preacher for a grandfather, that didn't take my place for worshiping God myself. I had to learn how to worship God on my end. And I went to the Bible and I began to study how to worship God, and it's in spirit. I can't worship Him in the flesh. You know who you worship in the flesh. And it ain't up toward heaven. A lot of times it's me. A lot of times I find myself doing what I want to do. And thinking, "Man, what I've accomplished." But you know what? It's all God. And in truth. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Well, let me say this. I was thinking sometimes that we think true worship is how good we sing and how loud we sing. By the way, God doesn't sit on a panel of judges. And people come through and sing and they go, "No." But God looks at the heart. God, you could sing the most prettiest song in the world. And can I say, I could sing a song and be as far away from God as I could be. But God looks at the heart. When I sung tonight, God wasn't hearing all the great words that were in songs. He was looking at my heart and making sure I meant what I said. When you preach a sermon, it's not how eloquent you are and how prolific you are. It's how your heart looks at, and if you're living what you're preaching, how's your worship? Let me give you this, I'm done. Worship God's way is three things. Number one, it's biblically based because it's God's idea. It was God's idea. Worship started in the Garden of Eden, my friends. And can I say that worship is going to last through eternity? You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? They're not going to call, Michael Wiggins, please come to the microphone. Michael Wiggins, please come to the microphone and sing, Oh, What a Savior, please. I don't believe that's going to happen. Because I'm pretty sure nobody's going to care about what I'm going to sing. But I'm pretty sure that they're going to say, look at our Savior. Whew. As the song says, you know, we're going to get there. Yeah, the streets of gold, gates of pearl. Yeah, that's okay. But there's Jesus. And I thought about, you know, even the gate, this is free. The streets of gold are transparent. And I thought about God's glory shining all the way through there. And simply because I believe this, the reason that they're transparent is because I can be on the level, the 12th level, and God's glory is still shining. And I'm still seeing Him. Worship. Think about that tonight. Biblically based. Number two, worship God's way is spiritually sound. You can't worship God in the flesh. It's got to be spiritual. If we're in the flesh, we can't worship God. He said, if you're going to worship me, you're going to worship me in spirit and truth. It's got to be a spiritual thing. Have you ever seen, you ever watched, I love to watch TBN. Just because I like to laugh. And I'll turn it over there sometimes, and there's one guy on there, and he really don't speak English too well, so I really enjoy him, because I don't know half of what he's saying. But it's funny, because he'll go, "Hey," and the people go crazy. I wanted to try that tonight, but I didn't figure it worked out. He goes, "And the people go, "Ha-ha-ha." I was thinking, if God in heaven is sitting up there going, "Oh." Or if God's saying, you know what, that makes me sick. Because I believe this with all my heart. I believe God sees Grandma's heart over there just praying for her grandkids and her kids and pouring her heart out before God. I believe that's what God is honored with and blessed with. I don't believe God's blessed with all this stuff that we see in churches today. All these performances and all these things going on. We're jumping around acting like crazy people. That's what they did at the bottom of the mount. I believe some of the quietest people are going to be some of the most honored people in heaven. Amen. And some of us loudmouth people like me are going to take a back seat to them. Because we're going to wonder one day, why were you so quiet? Oh, I was just busy thinking of how good Jesus was. That's how my grandmother was. My grandmother was a quiet lady, pretty much. They just got her riled up. But she was always thinking of her grandkids, praying for them. Can I say the third thing tonight? Worship God's way is Christ-centered. Anytime we step out of not giving Christ preeminence and giving Christ the honor and giving Christ the praise, we step out of the realms of true worship. And we no longer worship the one who is the God of the Bible. Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the reason that we're saved. And if our worship is not Christ-centered, my friends, and it either centers around man or it centers around you. There was a woman in John chapter 12. She came and she poured out all the ointment on Jesus' feet. Remember what the disciples said? Why'd you waste all that? Paraphrasing. That's a year's worth of wages. You know why she did? Because she knew that true worship was going to cost her something. And she was willing to give all she had just to spend time with Christ. And sometimes it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you maybe a little humiliation in this world. Maybe it's going to cost you a little ridicule in this world. But hey, true praise and worship in your life is going to be when you give all you got to God. You say, God, I'm giving my life. I'm giving my will. I'm giving my family. I'm giving everything I got. And Father, I'm going to bow at your feet and I'm just going to worship you. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I was going to finish it, but I felt like preacher right then. Pastor's singing the song, amen. I won't steal it. What a mighty God we serve. Tonight, if you're here and maybe you say, you know what? Maybe you just need to look at your life like I did mine and say, am I truly worshiping God the right way? According to the Word of God? Is what I'm doing tonight, is it biblically based? Is it spiritually sound? Is it Christ-centered, what I'm doing? Or is there a man getting praise somewhere? I always hated it whenever I'd sing and people would clap for me. I was thinking, oh man, don't clap for me. I always hated it whenever you preach a message and somebody said, well, a great message. I always just say, oh, just thank Him. He's the one that gave it to me. I was just the one that just got up here and talked. Think about your kids. And well, I was looking at those kids and listening to Miss Ashley play tonight. You know what? Man, thank God for Miss Ashley. But thank God she serves a great God that has given her the ability to do what she did tonight. And you know what I was thinking? She could probably play any kind of music, but I'm glad she played the good old hymn. Whew. I was like, praise the Lord. When you see the youth choir get up here and they're singing those songs and the kids choir, wow. I get excited because we got a great God that would allow us to sing and allow us to pray and allow us to approach His throne. That's a great God. That's the one I want to worship. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank You. And Lord, tonight is where I know pastor's coming and Lord, the musicians are coming. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight just needs to look inside and Lord, and just maybe we need to examine our worship. And Father, maybe we need to turn it from man unto God. Father, I know I failed You in this area. Lord, we certainly thank You for loving us. And Lord, we see how great a God You are. Lord, help us to fall down before You and worship You. Give You praise. Give You glory. Father, we're so grateful tonight for all that You'll do. Bless this invitation now. In Christ's name, Pastor.